somebody you can really root for and send some money to and volunteer for, because she's a real conservative. And talking about real conservatives and real Republicans, we've got George Brocker on. He's the Arapahoe County, or I guess it's the 18th Judicial District.
Judicial District Attorney.
Attorney, and just a great guy, we'd love to have on the program. And I guess we got the Arapahoe High School report.
George, thank you. Good morning. Thank you for your time.
Hey, thank you for having me on again. It's great to be on.
Yeah, one of the, huge thing in the news yesterday and front page news this morning, the shooting report on the shooting last December 13th at Arapahoe High School, where Carl Pearson went into the school with a shotgun, aiming for a teacher, a debate coach that he'd had a grudge against, and shot and killed Claire Davis and then killed himself. So the report came out yesterday, and I guess I'm going to just kind of jump in, George, and I mean, your thoughts on the report.
Well, I think there's a couple things. One, our role was pretty limited to trying to figure out at the front end what could we do in terms of search warrants and affidavits in support of them to get access to information. And it's not obvious. I think a lot of people think, hey, guy killed himself. Obviously, you'd be able to just go through his computer and the flash drive and the tablet. That's just not the way our Constitution works. There's still rights to be protected there. And I think the other part is we didn't know at the time early on if anyone else had knowledge of this, if anyone else could have been involved. So we were very deliberate, and I think we generated about 13 different search warrants to cover all this stuff. After that, a lot of our role was to try to encourage, the school district, the school administration, law enforcement to continue to give up and chase down information so we could try to figure out the truth of it. And at the end of the day, having gone through the report, the conclusion that I came to was there just wasn't any criminal liability outside of what Carl Pearson did in that high school. He alone, in my opinion, was the one that possessed criminal liability. But I got to tell you, as a father of four whose kids attend schools in that very area, I had a different set of questions in my head about how things went down, but that outside my lane as the district attorney. So my function was really satisfied once we concluded there was no criminal liability for anyone other than the shooter.
Well, let me pursue that a little bit about the school, because I know I read the report, and even at the time we were trying to talk to the school district. I mean, we had things like the principal deleting text messages and things. I talked to the security guard who said, there was plenty of warning, and the report revealed even that the teacher, it wasn't like, this came out of the blue. Everybody in that school was worried about this kid. The teacher was trying to get this. I mean, he almost considered quitting. He was so worried about the kid, and the school did nothing. I mean, what, like you said, as a parent, I mean, what would be some of the questions you'd like answered or your concerns about that?
Well, my guess is, having gone through the report, Julie, you did the same thing I did. You got to certain points where you looked up and said, I mean, something could have been done right here, or why wasn't this done here? And that's not to suggest that whatever protocols existed in place weren't followed, but my goodness, if there are red flags to be had in that report, there are pages that are coded in them. You pointed out the fact that the teacher who was the target of the shooter's hatred is so concerned, he's revisiting multiple times the administration's office to say things like, hey, can we please pull the video from the parking lot when the shooter announced to his mother, and yet I'm going to kill that guy or I'm going to kill him, and it doesn't happen. And then he's so concerned when the shooter comes back to speech and debate practice after he's been told not to, he goes back to the administration and expresses significant concern and says, I thought about quitting because I didn't want to be a target. I mean, those are pretty big red flags. And outside of my role as a district attorney, as a parent, I do want to hear answers to questions from people who are decision makers on the ground. Here's why we didn't do this, or here's why we did this. We haven't gotten.
Well,
that.
Julie and I had we have animated discussions coming over to the program. What can be done? I mean, involuntary civil commitment. Criminal charges. I mean, it's very hard to see exactly what could, should, might be done when you have somebody. I mean, I went to high school and had a kind of a acquaintance friend who 18 exhibited schizophrenia and ended up on a roof with a rifle. A lot of people, mental illness kind of tends to show itself when you get into your, 16, 17, 18 years old. Now he was committed for the rest of his life, and he's still in an institution. But it's you know, to bring the criminal justice system in, that creates all kinds of problems. They used to have police officers out in L.A. used to have the ability to civilly commit people, and they'd throw their girlfriends in when they threatened to talk to the wife and stuff. What can be done, do you think?
Well, I think the criminal justice system is a bit emasculated from doing anything in this situation. The tools that the school district has or the school has to say things like, you know, don't come back until this happens, or we're going to provide extra monitoring, or, you know, we're going to take pretty significant steps. Those are things I just don't know, Chuck. But you do point out something that I think the people ought to consider, too, and that is it's not that this guy didn't have a threat assessment. And it's not that the shooter didn't even have exposure to mental health professionals.
Right.
But the mental health professionals are dealing with a guy who, in his journal, in his diary, brags about the fact that he is actively misleading them and that he's withholding information from them. And I think it does beg the question, how effective can these school psychologists and psychiatrists be, whether it's at school or anywhere, if the person that they're trying to treat is not candid and forthcoming with information? And so if someone is intending to do harm, like the shooter here,
right,
I think they can put themselves in a position to check every box the school would want them to check and yet still be a threat to people inside that school.
So how do we solve that? I mean, okay, you have somebody who's suffering. I mean, I don't know if he was suffering from mental disease, but maybe a little bit.
He was clearly off. Yeah.
Clearly off and so forth. And as I said, you know, the solution, I mean, you can send him all the psychiatrists they want if he's bright enough, or even if he's not. I mean, you know, the choices are civil, involuntary civil commitment or criminal commitment. I mean, it's one of the two, because otherwise they can send him all the psychiatrists they want. He's not going to do anything about it.
Well, I don't want to get to the point where, as a society, kid gets upset even a couple times and displays anger verbally and says
right.
something like, "Hey, I want to kill that guy," and all of a sudden we're like, "That's it, you're going off to the loony bin, or we're going to lock you up for a period of time."
Right.
That could have, in some cases, a far more negative impact on that child than something else. But you know, you can't look at this situation in the rearview mirror with that clarity, that 2020 clarity, and not find things where you say, if they had only done this or if they had only done that. But Chuck, the question is a good one, and that is, what is that thing? What
yeah.
is that
well,
power
know,
we want to give to the school?
Exactly.
And Chuck and
exactly.
I just disagree on this, because in my reading, and I've covered, you know, I mean, I just remember that day going out there. I mean, you know, the photographer and I were in the truck, and it just, I like literally was, thought I was going to be sick. It was just so reminiscent of Columbine. And,
yeah.
you know, and you think this is, I mean, you know, this isn't the second school shooting I've been at. It's, I mean, there's just been so many, and you think we have to, I mean, there's something wrong for not trying to learn from them. And I think this is what I took away from this, is here was a kid who, when you go through his journals, he had clearly planned this, like Harrison Klebold, for a long time. And what right. I think is there were a lot of signs here. And I think it just, as parents, as teachers, as friends, we just can't keep ignoring, or I don't want to say people blew this off, but you have to.
But what's the solution?
Well,
what do you want them to do? That's the hard part.
Well, I wanted
okay.
the school in this case to go ahead and suspend him. I wanted
well,
the
that,
school in
great.
This case
that,
to.
That's great, but they did that with Holmes. He was, hey, don't come back to the school. And did that do
well,
anything?
Well, the psychiatrist there, I think, and George can't comment on that. But, I mean, I think, though, George, I mean, there were, did you, I saw in here things that maybe, and I don't want to blame parents, and I'm not trying to blame people, but I'm just saying there were signs here, and in many of these situations, there are signs. And if people say, you know what, you know, worst case scenario, maybe we need to pay attention to this. And I'm not saying lock him up. I kind of personally think there should be a way where things could be reported by psychiatrists and counselors without it getting thrown into a criminal system. And for instance, I go back to, there was a case in Westminster about a couple years ago, where it was a young man. It was in high school. He had a fight with his parents. He was troubled. He was seeing therapists, went to his aunt and uncle's house, took a gun, and was talking about killing people. They took him to his therapist. He said, yeah, I want to go shoot everybody at Stanley Lake and then shoot the president. And in that case, they got him help. But unfortunately, he had to be criminally charged. I mean, do you see a way to maybe work it where it doesn't have to involve, like, criminal charges?
I think there have to be some tools available for that. But you brought up the C word. You brought up Columbine. So, and as someone who prosecuted the guys that sold the Tech DC-9 handgun to Cleveland Paris, I will tell you, and I reviewed that evidence too, there are some parallels there that I think are outside of what can the school do, outside of what can the system do. It's really what should parents do? And again, I'm not the shooter's mom, and I know that mom and dad had recently gone through a divorce, and that probably wreaked some havoc on the household. But the bottom line is, nosy parents, concerned parents, parents that stay involved, I think there's a far less likelihood that something like this happens. I mean, with the shooter in this particular case, everything that he did comes back to the house. You know, he purchases the shotgun from Cabela's. The receipt is back at the house. He brings the shotgun back. He's messing with the gas cans and making the Molotov cocktails at the house. He's on his computer in the privacy of his house. He's got the Columbine book at the house. I mean, everything comes back to the house. Now, I get it. I mean, I don't have kids that are 17, and I get the idea that, hey, I want to continue to trust them. I want to continue to allow them to flourish and to become responsible adults. But in this case, you have a 17-year-old who mom has had to go to school multiple times to take away from school. She has conceded to the school and to psychologists and psychiatrists. He has an anger problem. He has a fixation on this particular teacher who he was going to try to kill. Ultimately, it seems to me that if you're that parent, you don't turn to the school or turn to the criminal justice system and say, where did you fall down? I think you begin to take a more active role with your kids. And you saw the same thing, Julie, with Eric Harris.
Right.
Lived in that basement in that little apartment they'd created for him. And they just basically let him run amok. And if you watch the video that Klebold made in the Harris basement of where they had, quote-unquote, hidden all the bombs, all the little clocks they disassembled to make the explosives for the cafeteria, the carbine that they used, it was all readily available to any nosy parent. My mom found the can of chewing tobacco and the Playboy. I know she would have found anything more than that had I gone down that road.
You know, no, and you're right. I mean, I have a daughter who's 28, and we went through this where, you know, I would find when I did laundry, notes in her clothes, right? You know, the girls would write notes back and forth to each other. And she got mad at me because there was something in the note that concerned me, and I confronted her with it, you know? And she said, you shouldn't be invading my privacy. And I'm like, you have no privacy. I'm your mother. You know, you'll have privacy when you go up and you get your own apartment, you know, and then you can do what you want. But my dad used to say, here under my roof, you know, your room is my room. And I agree with you that parents, and I don't want to blame this mother because I'm sure she's just heartbroken and did her best. But I think you're right. You know, parents need to be nosy. Well,
what do parents do? Are they supposed to go to the DA and turn their child in? What do you want the parents to do?
I think you stay on it.
No, it's not staying on it. You get a schizophrenic. As I said, I had a classmate who's a schizophrenic. I mean, he was starting to evidence schizophrenia, just beginning of it. What are parents to do? I mean, you know, what are parents to do? Everybody says, well, they should have done something. Boy, if you have a 17, 18-year-old schizophrenic beginning to show signs of schizophrenia, wow, it's not an easy kind of like, okay, they should have done something. What? You know, and the choices were civil commitment or turn them into criminal authorities. I mean, it's... they're not left with these choices. It's not just a kid. You kind of, hey, look, don't, no more bombs, no more, you know, no more this, no more that. You have to, I don't know what the tools are. I don't know what the toolbox is that parents have.
Chuck, if the conclusion at the end of this is, and I think it's the one nobody wants to get to, but you're sort of picking at it, the idea that, look, are we at a place where there are going to be occasions where there are people that want to do harm to others that we're simply not ever going to be able to identify in advance or stop. That's the scary conclusion, but it's the one that you're pointing to, which is maybe there isn't anything that can do to address this shooter or that could have derailed this particular outcome. And maybe that's true. I mean, I think we try to struggle as a community to look backwards on any horrible event and say, how could this have been avoided? Because if we say it could have been avoided, it means we have some control over the evil that takes place here.
Right.
And you're saying, what if we don't? What if we don't have control over some of the evil that takes place? That's a good question, too.
There are no easy answers, but I also think that you don't not try. I mean, there was the other case. Who was that kid in Arvada who shot up the church? I mean, you know, this kid is getting boxes of ammunition delivered to his house. And same thing, the parents had allowed him to make his own little, you know, teenage man cave where he had, you know, pictures of, you know, he had, like, colored out people's eyes. I mean, clearly something was going on with this kid. And, you know, I mean, I just think as a parent, and again, I don't mean to blame the parent, because I know these people are heartbroken and do their best.
Oh, yeah.
But
of course.
But it's like if my kid out of the blue started receiving boxes of ammunition delivered by FedEx to the house, I think I would go and say, hello, you know.
What would you do?
You know, I guess, I mean, I would take him to outer Siberia if I had to. I would just do, you just
well,
don't
there is
stop.
No outer Siberia.
Well, then
that
I would...
is the hard part. I mean, because, you know, you grow up with people and everything else, but, you know, the choices are so few with a parent that cannot control the child. And you throw them in the criminal justice system, that's, you know, that's... doesn't often
no,
have good
endings. There are mental health issues, yeah.
Well, mental health, but you know, do you throw him into involuntary civil commitment? Or is it even possible? You know, they've been throwing people out of the houses. I mean, is it even possible to put somebody into involuntary civil commitment?
Boy, that's a... Paul, I don't want to empower the government to make it easier to just reach out and grab people and throw them into the loony bin as a prophylactic measure when they're like, well, we don't know what's going on, but if we lock them up, we know it won't happen. Yeah. I don't want to be in that world either.
Right.
I don't know.
But George, let me ask you this though, because it's always hard to sort of prove a negative. I mean, we don't know about the cases where there are interventions, where the parents do pay attention, where things do happen. So you know, where you prevent things. But from where, and just one more question, let me go. But from where you sit, when you see things and you see the people coming through your office, I mean, what are some of the things that at least in your opinion, people are doing right that at least are getting people back on track?
You know, by the time they get to us, something has failed. I mean, you're right. We don't see a lot of the success stories. But I can tell you that once kids enter the juvenile justice system, you can pretty much bet how involved the parents are in terms of not just coming to court, which they're mandated to, but sort of the interest and enthusiasm with which they take on the responsibilities the court imposes on them, that you can pretty much tell. There's a group of kids there that just aren't going to be back in the system. And some of it is demographic. I mean, in Douglas County, you just see a far smaller recidivism rate because you have families that are largely intact, that have a ton of resources, and that have the ability to focus their time and attention on their kids, even when they screw up. There's not that's not consistent throughout all of Arapahoe County. There are parts of Denver and Adams County, too, where you just don't have that same outcome. So usually the parental involvement, in my opinion, is the number one thing that you see that turns a kid that could go down a bad road into getting right back on the right road.
All right. George, thank you. I would agree with that, too. And we'll let you go. Thank you for your time on this Saturday.
George, great to have you on, always.
Oh, as always, appreciate it. You know, and what do you think? 303-696-1971. You can't just give up. We can't just give up, I think. And I think George is right. The families have a lot to do with it. The schools have a lot to do with it. But 303-696-1971. We'll find out what you think.